Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. He has provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of God? Amen. Our text this morning is the 6th chapter of Samuel. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 23. That's 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 23. David again brought together out of Israel chosen men, 30,000 in all. He and all his men set out from Bala of Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim that are on the ark. They set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Aho, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the ark of God on it, and Aho was walking in front of it. David and the whole host of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with songs and with harps, lyres, tambourines, sistrums, and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died there beside the ark of God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah, and to this day that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me?" He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to him with the city in the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God." So David went down and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom in the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fatted calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire host of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sounds of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark out of the ark of the Lord and set it on the place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women, and all the people went to their homes. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would." David said to Michal, It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his host when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. I can't answer to you why I chose this text. It's one of the most difficult scriptures to understand. But I had been thinking about what we had been talking about over the past few Sundays from this pulpit about God and about the sins we commit. And I thought about the holiness of God. And in my research, I came across this scripture. And I think we are taken aback at the harsh action of God against Uzzah because we regard it probably as a merciless act of justice. On the surface, we would view Uzzah's actions as a good deed. Have a God responded with swift vengeance. And yet David seems to act inappropriately before God, and yet he suffers no consequences. You know, the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the tablets that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, contained a pot of manna and contained Aaron's staff, that had been captured by the Philistines nearly 20 years prior to this incident. It was even occurred before David was king of Israel. The Ark was Israel's national treasure and its most sacred object. It was considered by the Israelites as the presence of God among his people. They thought of God being in the ark along with these sacred items. And the ark had been kept in the tabernacle and in the section of the tabernacle called the most holy place, which was a section that had been curtained off. And only the high priest, someone from the tribe of the Levites who had been appointed high priest, could go into this most holy place. And he could go in only on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And what secular history tells us, the records tell us, is that they would tie a rope around the leg of the high priest who entered the Holy of Holies. In the event he died while in there, no one would go in to get him because of the prohibition of no one entering except the high priest, so they would use the rope to pull him out of the Holy of Holies. The Philistines captured the ark, but soon after they captured it, they gladly gave it back because God had destroyed the idol of their god Dagon, and the Philistine people were stricken with tumors. So they gladly sent it back. And it was being housed at the house of Abinadab, which was approximately 20 miles west of Jerusalem after it was returned from the Philistines. Well, once David established his throne in Jerusalem, he determined to bring the ark to that new capital. The ark was to provide the focus for worship and a rallying point for the nation of Israel. So David's task was an important, holy one. The ark was placed on an ox cart. The oxen were pulling the cart, and they stumbled. And the ark began to slide off of the ark, off of the cart, toward the ground. And this is when Uzzah, who was a son of Abinadab, one of the priests charged with transporting the ark, placed his hands on the ark to prevent it from striking the ground. Then the sentence from God came against Uzzah. The Lord's anger burned against him because of his irreverent act of touching the ark, and God struck him down, and Uzzah died beside the ark of the covenant. Now, we might have expected God to thank Uzzah, but instead, God executed him on the spot. Now, David aborted the mission immediately once this occurred. He took the ark to the house of Obed-Edom, and 3 months later finally completed the task of transporting it to Jerusalem with extravagant celebration, I might add. Our text states that David danced before the Lord with all his might, accompanied by shouts and sounds of trumpet. So we learn from this scripture that David was not a Baptist. He danced, and they had trumpets. But what was Uzzah's sin? What did he do? He was slain for his irreverence. The Hebrew people largely regarded the ark as a good luck symbol. They knew what was in it. They knew that it was supposed to be God's presence among them. But they regarded it as sort of a good luck symbol. And Uzzah, I think, saw himself as a person whose job it was to take care of God. Here was this structure that presumably housed the presence of God, and he was trying to keep it safe from the mud and the dust of the world. But he ignored the instructions of Moses, the clear directions that Moses gave for the proper handling of the ark. The ark was not to be touched with human hands. It was to be carried by Levites, whose tribe provided, the tribe of Levi provided the priest for the tabernacle. And it was to be transported by Levites using poles inserted through rings attached to the ark. Only the poles could be touched by human hands and not the ark. In his book, The Holiness of God, R.C. Sproul states, Uzzah assumed that his hand was less polluted than the earth. But it wasn't the ground that would desecrate the ark. It was the touch of man. Remember in Old Testament days, but God was so holy that man could not obey the Mosaic law and be holy enough himself, man or woman, to come in the presence of God. And that's why God, of course, sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we could become holy enough and perfect enough, not as perfect as God or Jesus, but holy enough and perfect enough to be in his presence for eternity. So Uzzah was a Kohathite, and this was a clan within the tribe of Levi, which had been consecrated by God to handle transporting the tabernacle. Remember, until the tabernacle was built in Jerusalem, the tabernacle was a tent that the Israelites transported throughout their journey from Egypt. Wherever they went, they had the tent, which was the tabernacle, and within the tent, they had the Ark of the Covenant, including the sacred objects there within. And the book of Numbers clearly states that the people were not to touch the holy objects or they shall die. Only the Levitical priests were allowed to touch the holy objects, and the Kohathites were not even to look at the holy objects. And if so, they would die. So Mosaic law gave clear warnings about the ark, but the people foolishly did not heed them. Uzziah substituted what he probably regarded as a more efficient innovation for transporting the tabernacle. He had new technology. He and the other priest had an ox cart. So they decided it would be easier to transport the ark on an ox cart than carrying it 20 miles on poles. The priest, however, should have known that God is not to be trifled with. And Uzzah fatally discovered that he was not in charge of God, and his method was contrary to God's law and offensive to God. This one incident, I think, indicates that a key attribute of God is holiness. And the holiness of God speaks of absoluteness, of awesomeness, of majesty in the Creator as distinguished from the created. We are certainly never obtain the purity and the holiness that God does. No one is to trifle with God. We are wise to enter His presence with awesomeness. He is a consuming fire. We should not utter His name loosely, lightly, or in a profane manner. And remember, in Old Testament times, that whatever object was connected with the worship of the holy God was holy itself. We should not disobey God's instructions. Uzzah did, and he paid the ultimate penalty. Well, when the captured ark arrived back in the Israelite town of Beth Shemesh, the people gawked at it. This is when the Philistines said, "Hey, we don't want it." They sent it back. They sent it with gold. They had five rats made out of gold that represented the five tribes of the Philistines. And they had five tumors made out of gold, which represented the tumors with which the people were afflicted. So they sent it back. And the Israelite people of Beth Shemesh gawked at it, and they opened it to view the objects that were within. And 70 people looked at those objects in the ark, and 70 people died because of that. And this should have been a warning to Uzzah. But the incident in that text, most biblical scholars agree, was no accident. The falling of the ark off of the ox cart was, or the sliding of it off of the ox cart was a sign. It was way of God. It was a way of God's halting this procession, because the ark was being transported in disobedience to the instructions given to the Israelites through Moses. God, we don't believe, was objecting to the ark being transported to Jerusalem to reside in the new temple. He was opposed to the inappropriate means of transport. The Jews should have known how to treat properly the sacred object. The lesson to be learned here, I think, is We have access to God, but not casual familiarity. We may boldly approach God, but with reverence and respect. But often we are like Uzzah in the way we casually regard God. We treat God as a genie in a lamp, just like Uzzah treated him as being in a box. We treat him like a genie in a lamp that we can rub and ask for all the things we want. When we come to church, we talk about being entertained and complain about church being boring. But I think you'll find out that most people who claim that church is boring don't live in awe of God. David became upset at Uzzah's death, and the word angry that's used in verse 8 of the text might be best translated as distressed. And this goes along, the distressed definition fits better with verse 9, which reveals that David was confused and in despair. How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me, he asked. David clearly realized that God was offended, and he was not willing to further risk divine displeasure. Of course, it's difficult to not notice that God did not tolerate Uzzah's action, but he tolerated David's anger. However, David's anger did not get him killed because he was treating God as God and not as a box to be manipulated and transported as man wished. When the ark finally arrived in Jerusalem, Michal, David's first wife, saw David's dance and despised her husband for doing so. She was the daughter of Saul. In fact, maybe her contempt for David came from her father. She is called the daughter of Saul three times in our text, and this implies that she was not behaving as David's loyal wife, but as his opponent, like a true daughter of Saul. David removed his royal clothes and wore an ephod, a priestly garment, in order to mark the religious significance of the occasion, and Michal apparently felt that her husband was inappropriate in his enthusiasm, that he acted undignified, and David was willing to look undignified and humble and common in the eyes of some in order to fully express his delight in the Lord. His heartfelt worship, however, was repelled by his first wife, and her displeasure destroyed their marriage, and we know from history that David does not divorce her, but they cease to live as husband and wife, and she remained childless until her death. And as part of David's celebration, he proclaimed a psalm of thanks. And in that praise of God, David says, God is to be feared. He advises all the earth to tremble before God. Uzzah and David's encounter with the ark, one in death and one in a dance. Uzzah died as a result of ignoring the holiness of God, and David was dancing because he felt alive in the holiness of God and in the worship of him. David had learned to live openly and trustingly and passionately and exultantly before God, and rather than seek to control God, David sought to submit to God's will. I think it's comforting reassurance to know that while God is holy, that because of Jesus, we are now pure and perfect enough to come before God, to spend eternity with him if we accept the gift of salvation, if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, God shows mercy on us and offers forgiveness to us. On the cross, Jesus paid the supreme sacrifice for damaged merchandise. once Adam and Eve sinned against God, then all mankind was damaged from that point. And it took Jesus' death to redeem us. It took Jesus' death to pay the cost for that damaged merchandise in order that it would be sufficiently redeemed to stand in God's presence. When he died on the cross, we remember that the curtain separating the Holy of Holies from the rest of the tabernacle was torn in two, symbolically indicating that we all have access now to the Holy of Holies through Jesus, who is our high priest. It is only when we begin to comprehend God's holiness that we see the enormity of our sin and the enormity of the price paid for our forgiveness. So let us make it our aim to glorify God here on earth and enjoy him forever, to respect his holiness, to be in reverence and in awe of him. And if you're here this morning and you don't know God, that you haven't accepted him as your Lord and Savior, that you want to know how you can be made perfect enough and holy enough to stand in God's presence for eternity, just ask him to forgive you of your sins, and he'll do that, and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And we would be delighted if you would share that decision with us as we sing our hymn of invitation, or if you desire membership with this body of believers, if you'll come forward, we can discuss the methods by which you can do so. If you'll come as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 291, Beneath the Cross.